Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. We are currently in the middle of our narcissistic abuse series. And today I want to slow down and focus on one tactic that shows up everywhere in relationships, in families, in workplaces, and even in churches. And it's the tactic that leaves you questioning yourself, doubting your sanity, and feeling like maybe you really are the problem. So today, we're talking about gaslighting. So gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse where someone manipulates you into doubting your own reality. So it's not just lying. It's lying with the goal of destabilizing you. And over time, it chips away at your ability to trust yourself, your memory, your feelings, and even your sanity. So gaslighting isn't a one-time disagreement or a simple misunderstanding. It's a repeated pattern of denial, twisting, blame shifting, and then rewriting the story. The purpose is always the same, to make you question yourself so that the other person can stay in control. And the end result is this. Instead of trusting yourself, you start relying on the abuser to tell you what's true. And that's why gaslighting is so dangerous. It steals away your anchor, your sense of self. So this is what it can sound like. That never happened. Wow, I can't believe you'd accuse me of that. You're imagining things. Honestly, I think something's wrong with you. So you hear that? It's not just denial. It's destabilization. So gaslighting usually looks like this, just like in that example. The denial first. Or the lie, that never happened, is the lie or the denial. And then it's the indignation. How dare you accuse me of that? And then we're going to flip the blame onto you. You're the crazy one, not me. And then we'll go a little bit further and actually rewrite the history. You always exaggerate. That's not what happened. And then, as you can see, you're probably now trying to say something and defend, and then you get yourself caught up in this circular conversation that has no way out, no resolution, and just leaves you exhausted. And these aren't random. They're intentional. They're designed to keep you spinning in confusion. So why does gaslighting kind of work this way? First, it usually starts off really small. Maybe it's a little denial or a joke that stings, but then leaves you wondering, maybe I'm overreacting, right? And over time, it escalates into rewriting major events until years of your life feel like they've been twisted into something totally different. And then second, gaslighting often isolates you. You start hearing things like, your friends don't really understand us, or your friends don't really like you. Or your family never really liked me. And that's intentional because if he can put a wedge in between you and these other people in your life, then you're getting cut off from the outside voices, and their voice is the only one that you can hear. And third is projection. Gaslighters love to accuse you of the very thing they're doing. So they will lie and they'll call you dishonest. Or they will cheat but accuse you of flirting. They explode in anger and then say, "You're the one with the temper." This keeps you on the defensive, explaining yourself instead of noticing their behavior. And here's the biggest thing. The point isn't always to get you to believe their version of reality. The point is to leave you so exhausted and so confused that you just stop challenging them at all. Even if you don't fully believe them, you also no longer fully believe yourself. And that's where the deepest damage happens. You lose trust in your own judgment, your own intuition, and your own worth. So gaslighting is exhausting. And maybe at first you think, oh, maybe they just misunderstood me. So you try again. So maybe like more carefully and patiently, and maybe in 50 different ways, I'll try to explain this. But no matter how you phrase it, they're going to twist it, or they're going to sidestep it, and they're going to circle back like you never said a word. Conversations feel like you're running in circles through a maze with no exit. And this is what survivors call a word salad, if you've heard that word before. You leave feeling dizzy, frustrated, and questioning your own perception. Gaslighters will avoid accountability at all costs. So they will nitpick irrelevant details of whatever you just said and point out tiny mistakes or drag in something that you did years ago, all to shift the blame back to you. And over time, this just wears you down mentally, emotionally, physically. You start second guessing everything. Maybe I am too sensitive. Maybe I really am the problem. Gaslighting isn't just confusing, it's abusive. So let me give a few examples here and see if maybe you can find yourself in some of these. So, with a romantic partner, let's say you come to them vulnerably and say, "It really hurt my feelings when you said that." And their reply is something like this: "Nothing I ever do will ever be good enough for you." Wow. Or, "Will you do the same thing to me?" Or, "Oh, are we just keeping score now?" And sometimes they'll even just go into a shame spiral. "I'm just the worst partner ever. I can't do anything right. You must hate being with me." So notice what just happened. The moment you brought up your hurt, the focus completely shifted. And instead of your pain being acknowledged, now you're the one comforting them and reassuring them and even apologizing for bringing it up, for even bringing up that your feelings were hurt. That's gaslighting. It takes your truth and it flips it onto their wound, leaving you feeling guilty for daring to speak up. And over time, this trains you to stop bringing up hurts at all, because somehow you always end up the one apologizing. Does this sound familiar? Here's an example for a parent-child relationship. Maybe a child is saying, I remember when you hit me, mom or dad. And the parent responds, that never happened. Stop lying. You're always so dramatic. I only ever disciplined you in love. Okay, wait. What did the child just learn? Okay, their memory can't be trusted. Their pain is lying. Even their voice is called dramatic. And this is how kids grow up doubting themselves at the deepest level. This is gaslighting. And here's a workplace example. Let's say an employee comes and says, man, this workload just feels unmanageable. And the boss answers, well, everyone else handles it just fine. Maybe you're just not cut out for this. So there's the shift. Instead of acknowledging the problem, the boss reframes it as a flaw in you. It's no longer about a toxic workload. It's about your supposed weakness. That's an example of gaslighting in the professional setting, making you feel like you're the problem when really it's a broken system. And in a religious marriage, a wife says, I feel really lonely in this marriage. You don't really spend time with me or listen to me anymore. The response is, wow, you're being ungrateful. I work hard to provide for this family, just like God calls me to. If you were truly content in the Lord, then you wouldn't feel this way. Your dissatisfaction is really a spiritual problem. Okay. You catch what happened there? Her loneliness gets erased. Her need for connection gets twisted into ingratitude. And I'm saying it like this because I've heard this from my clients before. And her pain gets reframed as sin. That's spiritual gaslighting inside of a marriage, using scripture to shut down her voice and keep her doubting herself. That's broken. And sometimes it's not just one person, it's the entire system. And unfortunately, this is very true in our world today. But when a woman comes to the church and says, I was harassed by a leader here and I don't feel safe. And the response from the church is, well, you must have misunderstood his intentions. He's a godly man. Talking about this is gossip. You're sowing division. You need to forgive and move on. Well, let's name that. First of all, the abuse that she's coming to them with is never addressed. The abuse is minimized. Her voice is reframed as sin, and the abuser is protected because of his position. And this happens all the time in churches. This is institutional gaslighting, the church itself acting as the abuser, using scripture and community pressure to silence the truth and protect power. Okay. Now, understand, I am speaking about this from my personal experience as a professional in this field that's worked with many women that have gone through church abuse. I do know that not all churches are bad and are doing all of this, but too many times the victims of this never get to speak. And I'm speaking so we can bring awareness to this and to the victims that are listening to this so that they can hear and know that this isn't okay. This is not normal and this is not safe. So gaslighting, it works because it attacks your anchor. It attacks your ability to trust yourself. And once you stop trusting yourself and you stop trusting your memory or your perception, then you are easier to control. So you start looking to the abuser for what's true. And that dependency on them keeps you stuck. And it's not just personal. Gaslighting shows up in culture too. Leaders, the media, sometimes they deny the things that happened right in front of us. And they twist the truth and they rewrite history in ways that make us question our own eyes and ears. It's the same tactic, just scaled up. And the impact is the same. Confusion, exhaustion, mistrust of yourself. If you've ever wondered why you feel dizzy trying to make sense of what's going on in the world today, that's not weakness. That's collective gaslighting. And if you can see it and name it, then that can help protect you and get more clarity around it and resist the manipulation. So, if you have been gaslit, these might be some things that sound familiar to you. Maybe I'm too sensitive. Maybe I really can't trust my memory. I've heard this memory thing a lot. And that's because trauma is deeply connected to our memory. So there's some truth to that. But when you have someone actively trying to confuse you with your memory, that just makes it even harder. If you say things like, I feel crazy, or I must be the problem, or maybe if I could just explain it better, they'd finally understand. If you've thought any of these things, it's not because you're weak. It's because the abuse was designed to make you feel this way. So, how do we protect ourselves? Here's the truth. You can't stop someone from gaslighting. That's their choice. But you can protect yourself from being swallowed up by it. And we can start by anchoring ourselves in reality. Write things down. I'm constantly reminding my clients to do this. Write things down. Keep notes in your phone. Record a voice memo of what actually happened. And later, when you're doubting yourself and wondering if you're crazy, you'll have something solid to look back on. This is super important. Next, don't isolate. Reach out to safe people, whether it be friends, a therapist, a support group. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can hear is, no, you are not crazy. We see it too. Okay. That's one of our mottos in our support groups. You are not crazy. Another way to protect yourself, set boundaries in conversation. You don't have to stay in circles. These circular conversations that go nowhere, you don't have to stay there. You can say, I've already said what I need to say. I'm not repeating it again. Or this conversation isn't going anywhere, and I'm going to stop here. And walking away is a boundary, not a weakness. And when you're in this moment, name it. Even if you're only inside yourself, you're reminding yourself, okay, this is gaslighting. This is not me being crazy. This is them avoiding accountability. And naming it breaks the spell. Like I'm always saying, pay attention to your body. We want to get back connected with that. So any confusion or dizziness or shame or feeling like you're walking on eggshells, those are not signs of weakness. They are signs you're being manipulated. So instead of dismissing them, treat them like the alarms that they are, that are trying to tell you it's time to protect yourself. And listen, sometimes the best protection is limiting the exposure. You can't always stop the gaslighting, but you can definitely take a step back from it. You can shorten these conversations. You can create space, or when it's safe, cut ties completely. And most importantly, healing from gaslighting is about rebuilding self-trust. That might mean journaling, therapy. I highly recommend trauma therapy because a person in this situation is being traumatized. Somatic work, or simply practicing listening to yourself again. Because the more you trust your own voice, the harder it is for anyone to erase it. Okay? So I know we've covered a lot today, but if this feels familiar to you, hear me out. It was never your fault. Gaslighting is abuse. It is designed to confuse you, to silence you, to keep you doubting yourself. But your reality matters, and your voice matters, and you are not crazy. And you may have spent years second-guessing yourself or apologizing when you were the one who was hurt or carrying shame that was never yours to carry, but you don't have to live that way anymore. You are not that girl anymore. The one who doubted her own worth, or who swallowed her truth, or who let someone else define her reality. She's not the one holding the pen now. You are. And every time you name what's real, and every time you choose to trust your voice again, every time you step out of the confusion and into that clarity, you are reclaiming you. So remember this. You're not that girl anymore. You are braver, stronger, and more free than you've been led to believe. And your story isn't over. Okay? We're taking our power back. We're taking our pin back. One step at a time. You matter. Your story matters. Your pain matters. Your voice matters. Your dreams matter. And every step we are taking right now is for you. Thank you so much for giving us your time today at Not That Girl Anymore. If this helped you, I invite you to share it with someone else who might need it. Because sometimes the words we pass on become the lifeline someone else has been waiting for.
Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing.
Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.